Support for The Cut comes from Kate Spade, New York. Close your eyes. Imagine if joy were a sound, what would it be? If joy had a flavor, what would it taste like? And how does joy feel to you on your skin? For me, joy feels like freedom. And if you're looking to bring joy into your wardrobe, look no further than Kate Spade, New York. Shop their spring collection now and stay tuned for more. Hello and welcome to In Her Shoes. I'm Lindsay Peoples, editor-in-chief of The Cut. Taraji P. Henson is an actress, producer, and entrepreneur best known for her work in television and film. They include her career-defining roles like Suge in Hustle and Flow, Cookie Lyon on Empire, and Katherine Goebel Johnson in Hidden Figures. In 2020, Henson also established her own production company with a mission to expand diversity in filmmaking, and more recently has been outspoken about persistent pay inequality for Black women in Hollywood. Hi, Taraji. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Lindsay.
I'd love to start. You've done a million red carpets this year on Color Purple, and I know that you said you originally turned down the opportunity to star in the Broadway adaptation, but eventually came around when you were approached to play Suge Avery in the latest version. So walk me through what kind of caused a change of heart and the decision-making around you wanting to be part of The Color Purple this time.
Well, I mean, clearly Suge came back to get me, so that means I'm supposed to do it. For me, vocally, I felt like I could handle it. You know, you sing it once, you record it, and then you don't have to really sing it every night like you would on stage. So I felt comfortable with my instrument being able to do that. And so that's really was the determining factor for me. And just Blitz, just believing in me. And when someone believes in you like that, you want to make them proud. You know, yeah. Oprah couldn't believe it. Like, surprising Oprah was great. Like, she was like, who knew? Because that's who called to tell me I got it. And that's the first thing she said. Who knew? How you been hiding? Who knew you could sing like this?
Yeah. So tell me specifically about your character and just your approach in reviving such an iconic character, which I know must be daunting because Color Purple is obviously so beloved. Where did you start it in your thinking? Were you ever nervous?
Of course. Nerves means you're alive. I need nerves. Yeah, I was nervous. Hell yeah. I mean, so many incredible people portrayed her before me on the screen and off, you know, Broadway. So I approached her like I approach all my brand new characters, you know. I approached her as if she hadn't been done before. I didn't look at anybody else's performance. Had I seen them before? Yes. But I chose not to go back and revisit their performances while I was creating my version of Suge. And I just approached her like I do all movies and roles. I mean, I felt like this Suge was different because the script was different. It was being told by a different visionary. Blitz had a whole new take on it. And we were able to deal with the love between Celie and Suge more this time. You know, you got to remember The Color Purple is a vast book. It's huge. It's so much in there. And every time we decide to do an interpretation of it, it's just a corner of the book. You know, we still haven't dealt with a lot of the book, a lot of these character stories. I was grateful and happy to see that we were exploring that love between Celie and Suge a little more. We opened that story up a bit, and that helped me in creating my Suge because, you know, I'm sure on the onset, people could see how Suge came into Celie's life and changed hers. But what I was trying to get people to see is how Celie changed Suge's life. These women poured into each other. Suge needed Celie just as much as Celie needed Suge. So that's what I played on. I played on, you know, this big persona. But what's hiding behind that? You know, you got to remember this woman gives on that stage and all these swanky clubs and places she performs. And she's being idolized and sexualized. But who's really seeing her? Who's really pouring into her? Even the men she lays up with. She goes to visit Mister and he passes her off to Suge. That man doesn't, all he want to do is fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I was so grateful for that because that gave me so much more insight to who Shug was, you know?
Yeah.
That you forget about when you watch the movies or you see, because it's there in the book, you know?
Right.
Whenever I got lost, I would just go back to the book.
No, that's incredible. I mean, obviously, so much of this is about the music, and I think about Empire and Hustle and Flow, and so much of your work has been musical. And I know that you also sing and release music on your own as well. So how do you feel like that's, you know, continue to inform the work that you're attracted to, or are you trying to do more music in the future?
I mean, I'm not throwing anything away. I mean, it's all my talent, but it's, you know, for me, it's not about, at this point in my career, you know, my gifts aren't about money grabs. I have other things for that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But for now, for me in this business, it's about, yeah, pay me my money. Let's get that clear. But, you know, it's about things that I'm passionate about. You know, I'm not just going to release an album just because I can sing. Like, I don't want to add to the disposable music. It's so much of it, you know? I want mine to be classic. It has to mean something. So, you know, have I gotten there yet? And I don't think so. You know,
will
I get there? I'm still alive. As long as I'm alive, there's no time limit to anything.
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm not ever going to revisit. It's very right here, but I can't say I'm dropping an album next year. You know, I have to be moved, you know, because if I'm not moved, how will I move the people?
Yeah.
No, the audience is very smart. They know a money grab, or, you know, they know when it's BS when they see it.
So. They do. They do.
Yeah.
But I think you being so transparent about the pay gaps for Black women and the finances of it has been really life-changing for so many people. And as a fellow Black woman, I was just clapping every single time you would talk about it, because I think it's so important. And a lot of times when people have, quote unquote, seat at the table, they don't use it to actually vocalize changes that need to happen. And so I think it's been also really revelatory, but also people have just been so in support of you speaking about that. So when you do come out with music or whatever, people are going to be excited.
Well, I hope so. You know, speaking on that pay piece, I don't think people really realize what that does to your mental. You know, everything I do is under the umbrella of mental wellness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you aren't being paid as much as your counterparts, it does something to you mentally, because it makes you go, what does that mean for me? What are you saying about me?
Right.
And so I think that's why it struck such a chord, because it is mentally draining. It's taxing to know that you're doing more and beyond and still getting paid less than. That hurts. That doesn't feel good.
No, you know? Of course not. Are there tactical things now that you feel like you've talked about this now that are going to, you know, shift in the future as you work on different projects, or things that you're like,
oh, I've seen things shift right away in the industry, what I'm being offered and things, you know, that's why if you change only comes when people tell their truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time you're going to make change is if you speak up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You know, us talking about it in quiet circles over here and there and just being mad about it, drinking our problems away with some wine and then going home, going to sleep, getting up, going back. That's not good mentally. That's not helping. That's not moving the needle in any way.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think so much of how you're talking about this all stemming from mental health, I completely agree. And I want to touch on that too, because I'm curious about what prompted you to pursue the work, because I think, you know, mental health, especially in Black communities, is still, there's still such a stigma around it. And I'm curious of how you wanted to pursue the work, but what is like giving you the courage to really speak up so publicly about it?
Well, I mean, again, nothing changes if you stay quiet. How will people be helped and healed if we all in our corner suffering silently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so particularly for the Black and Brown community, it's just something that we just don't talk about. It's taboo, you know? And Black Americans that were brought here from Africa are living with 7 generations of trauma that we haven't even begun to really unpack. It's in us. I'm claustrophobic, and I know it's because my ancestors in my DNA probably running to freedom. hiding out in little places. You know, there are things that trigger us and we don't even know why we're triggered. You know, and I was looking for a therapist for myself and my son. You know, you can only imagine how it is trying to raise a Black male.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
a single female in the world and I'm in Hollywood. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get us some help. And, you know, I'm thinking it's just going to be easy. I'm going to, you know, I'm privileged. I have money and, you know, I'm just going to look for a Black therapist. Well, it wasn't mm-hmm. that easy.
Yeah.
And that struck a chord in me. And I'm such a total empath. And I was like, you know, I can afford this. But what about the people, the communities that we don't even talk about it? And how would they go about looking? And they're going to get frustrated and give up on themselves.
Yeah.
Because they can't find, you know, and I was like, we got to do something. And I called my best friend who runs my foundation, best friend since the seventh grade, who we grew up watching her suffer, you know, with her anxiety and mm-hmm. Panic attacks. And we laughed because we didn't know we were ignorant. And the things that we laughed about with her dealing with that growing up, we cry about now because now we know the levity of it. We just felt compelled to do something about it. I mean, mm-hmm. no one cares about us. Women are dying in hospitals at higher rates than other women. Black women are dying in hospitals at higher rates than other women during childbirth, during whatever. I mean, it's just, I just had an episode, a situation with my sister. I don't want to tell her business, but it's crazy what's going on in the medical field and with us, and no one seems to care. So it has to be us that's going to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we launched the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation. And, you know, we're suffering right now with this DEI and the getting rid of the, the equity programs. We're programs like my foundation are taking hits. I'm starting to have to go and ask for my friends to, can they help us stay afloat? You know, it breaks my heart because we are making such an impact.
Right.
We're making such an impact. And it seems like every time we get close to some form of, we got it, that line moves, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The bar moves, you know?
So tell us about your partnership with Kate Spade New York and why it's meaningful to you and the Boris Lawrence Henderson Foundation.
Kate Spade is the best partner ever. It was like godsend. We both love our organizations, both love and believe and champion for women so much and so hard. They see us, we see them, and we see the work that we're trying to do, and we want to help each other. It's just been the perfect marriage.
And what specific initiatives or things are you guys looking forward to working on together?
We just launched two respite She Care pods, one in Alabama State University and the second at Hampton University. We have two more that we're going to erect this year. And in these respite pods, this is places where the students can come and some of them being introduced to conversations around mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Some are coming to take care of their mental health. We have two rest pods where they can go and have one-on-one therapy sessions or virtual sessions. Or to take a break and have some single one-on-one time. Because as you know, when you're in college, you're always in the room with roommates and class with other students. Where do you go when you just need to decompress by yourself?
Yeah.
You know, get your mental together. Also, we're into meeting people where they are. We like to introduce mental wellness by African dance, meditation, sound bowls. It's a place where you can go and decompress and have a moment and feel safe. It's a safe space. And I wish we had these when I was growing up,
yeah.
when I was in college. That's one initiative that Kate Spade and I, Boris Lawrence Henson, partnered on. And then secondly, we just launched our Joy Necklaces. And it's a jade heart. And they're sold online, katespade.com, or in the actual Kate Spade stores. And for us, it's just a way for women to connect. You know, mm-hmm. I'm grateful because I have a best friend. We're always like, oh, we feel sorry for people who don't have best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a way to create sister circles because if you wear this heart, everyone knows why you're wearing it. You know, one, you know about Kate Spade. Two, you know, or you've just been introduced to the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation.
Yeah.
So when you see another woman out and about and she's wearing that heart, you spark a conversation and you might be one of those women who don't have a best friend or a sister circle. You may have just met the first friend in your sister circle.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. I love all of those. And I also, I mean, I think when you talk of just having community and having a best friend and sister circle with this partnership and foundation, I think about the fact that probably so many people have been asking you for advice, whether it's aspiring entertainers or other women of color in the industry. Is there certain advice you've been giving out that you feel like has been most helpful to people?
I mean, this is in life, and you can use it for business or just in life, but get from around people who have your same problems and get around those who have your solutions, you know, and that's in your mental. Like if you hanging around people and every time you feel your energy goes low, you got to get away from them. They energy killers. You want to be successful, hang around successful people.
Yeah.
You're not going to make A's if you hanging out with the derelicts in the back of the class. They're not making A's.
No, I mean, birds of a feather flock together. That's
that part. It's so simple. Life, we make it so hard, right?
Yeah.
Treat others as you would want to be treated. That's the simplest. I mean, that is life 101.
100%. And I think also a lot of what you're saying, though, I think really inspires a lot of our audience to just understand the dimensions of things they're interested in. And so you obviously have, you know, your hair care line, and I know you have a couple other projects in the works. I saw you're also coming out with a children's book. So I wanted to make sure to talk about that as well. Cause yes. you can be a good friend. This looks very cute.
Yeah. You can be a good friend no matter what. And it's just about embrace. Yeah. There's some bullying in there, but we're not going to hit the nail over the head about the bullying. How do you operate in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching children how to rise, go above. You can be a good friend no matter what, because someone is always, when they're mean to you, it's because someone was mean to them. Right. You know, maybe they never met a nice person before. Maybe no one's ever seen them. You know, it's just giving kids another option to look at things, a humanistic way to look at things and themselves and accept themselves and not try to change yourself to make someone else happy.
For sure.
You have to accept them just like they have to accept you. And that's okay. And we can do that as humans because we're all different.
Mm-hmm. This looks like a great resource for kids to be able to process and overcome anxieties. So very, very excited.
Oh, absolutely.
To see you. Which comes out June 18th. But yeah, those are all my questions. Is there anything else you want to cover?
No, I just wanted to say that also TPH hair care and body care line is also about your mental wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I call it mental wealth because you're pouring into yourself, you know, especially women. You know, we take care of so much and so many people, and most of us are the breadwinners of our households. And what does taking care of ourselves looks like? Wash day, we make it, it's like a chore. It shouldn't be a chore. You're pouring into yourself. You're taking care of your hair. It should be fun. It should be a process. It should be spa-like. And so that's what, you know, TPH is all about. Anything that I come out with is about taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. And we're huge fans of you at The Cut. So thank you for everything.
Thank you. You have a beautiful day.
You too. That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening to In Her Shoes. Our episode was produced by Jelani Carter. I'm your host, Lindsay Peoples. In Her Shoes is a production of The Cut and New York Magazine. Thank you to Kate Spade, New York, for supporting the show. Joy is for everyone. Taraji and Kate Spade have joined forces to increase access to mental health resources for women and girls, helping more of us experience the full spectrum of joy. Their new capsule collection invites us all to join in on the power and possibility of joy with items that support the Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation. Joy is everywhere you look. And if you want to bring joy to your wardrobe, check out Kate Spade New York. Shop the spring collection now.